No playing.
Welcome to D20 Dudes, where we let the dice determine the discussion. My name is Connor, and as I'm sure you could tell, I'm not Dylan. Okay, let's address the elephant in the room. Dylan is unavailable. I don't know whether it would be appropriate to divulge the details of his absence. However, it does give me the opportunity to hijack the show in a very Max Headroomy style for an episode or so. And I am nothing if not a sucker for the opportunity to further develop my voice work portfolio. For listeners wondering who I am, I have a few actual play podcasts that I edit and produce and all those other buzzwords, as well as a few shows that I either regularly host on or have provided my voice talents to. For those reasons, I was invited onto this show, D20 Dudes, a few episodes ago to share my experiences, but it was all very rushed and, to be honest, it's not quite work that I'm proud of. So today gives me the very rare opportunity to redeem myself in the eyes of the listeners, ears of the listener, and produce quality content for the audience. And that's what I will be doing today very shortly. That being said, before we get started today, I do have some brief executive housekeeping to take care of, so bear with me and I promise this will be done very shortly. If you enjoyed the show, please check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/d20dudes. Please check out Twitter, twitter.com/d20dudes. Please check out Discord, discord.gg/foxtrot3delta Mike Zeta Yankee 5. And please check out patreon.com/d20dudes. And I guess I should plug my stuff too. Please check out my Pathfinder project, Clinton's Core Classics, Rise of the Rune Lords First Edition Actual Play Podcast. Hey, that's the game we're going to be talking about today. Our shtick is that we're supposed to be limited to the content that was made at the time of the module that we're playing, or before. I worked pretty dang hard on it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Also, check out Bug City Blues. That's a Shadowrun 6th World Edition Actual Play Podcast. I'm pretty proud of the work I've done so far. I think this is a pretty universally enjoyable show. I've been very slowly editing this last episode due to some real-life stuff, and normal episode releases won't nearly be as delayed as this last one's been. We're just getting started, so now is a great time to join on along. If actual play podcasts aren't your thing, and you're looking for a more tech-slash-gaming news roundup kind of show with a splash of comedy and camaraderie, check out the Reet Entertainment Podcast. All of these shows can be found wherever fine podcasts are found, which means Spotify, Amazon, and Apple. Then I just let the bots skim the shows from there. If you want to see these shows on a podcatcher of your choice, just let me know and I'll see what I can do to make that happen. I guess I'm on Twitter, @CyberpunkMonk. There is an underscore between those two there. And Clinton's Core Classics is on Twitter too, @ClintonScore. There's also @BugCityBlues, which is very rarely updated as well. Actually, my advice on the matter is don't go on social media. It's very bad for you. You're a better human being without it. And I'm greatly disappointed after seeing the direct impact it has on advertising as a tool. And that's it. We're all done with the boring stuff. Thank you for sticking with me. Without further delay, let's talk about today's topic. We are going to briefly discuss the Pathfinder First Edition core class, the Sorcerer. There are a few things I'm going to assume before going in. If this episode is for you, you know about Pathfinder and are aware that this is a world where magic exists. This is an episode about a particular flavor of spellcaster, so I will assume that you could identify that a light spell and a burning hand spell aren't going to accomplish the same goals. If you're looking for an episode to introduce you to the concepts of magic, at least as it exists in the Pathfinder canon, this isn't the episode you want. That being said, I do believe that anyone from a casual listener to a devout Pathfinder player will be able to follow along with our topic today. For most, the arcane arts are a lifelong practice. Just as a sculptor or a musician may spend their life in perfection of their craft, a wizard may spend their lives in study over tomes and in servitude of superiors, in pursuit of a mastery of an otherwise unexplainable phenomena, the ability to control magic. Others may acquire the same power, but they need to form a connection with a mystical familiar, which allows them the ability of understanding materials otherwise unavailable for mortal comprehension. For a very rare select few, however, magic is something that flows in their veins with a familiarity others view with jealousy and fear. From a tabletop standpoint, the Sorcerer is a relatively new entry in the world. Looking back in the history of the hobby, the first edition of D&D featured a fighter, or a fighting man as it was called, a cleric, and a magic user. For the sake of the discussion we're having, magic user is synonymous with wizard. The game would continue to morph and evolve as everything from officially supported splat books to third-party add-ons would continue to supplement and enhance the gameplay experience people would have. It wouldn't, however, be until almost 30 years of nerds rolling dice together until the Sorcerer as we know it would be unveiled. With the turn of the century, D&D 3rd Edition was introduced, and the Sorcerer was brought along with it. No longer were those looking to summon forth Arcana restricted to slaving over books and studies to achieve their goals. Now, a select few individuals were capable of bringing forth latent magical energies that lied dormant within their very bloodlines. A mysterious connection to a supernatural power exists within their very heritage, and, for better or worse, these powers now express themselves. The result is a powerful practitioner of the magical arts, who's seen by the rest of the world with equal parts disdain and curiosity. Now, the sorcerer is a well-respected and fully fleshed-out core class available for you to play in almost any Pathfinder table you can find. People have explored different schools and customizations available to them by choosing sorcerer as their class, and through the years, they've managed to stand out amongst their peers as a respectable caster class, worthy of their earned merit. However, if you were to look at the two full casters from the Pathfinder core rulebook side by side, it may be easy to view the sorcerer as an inferior magical user compared to the wizard. The sorcerer feels very limited in their starting spells known, whereas a wizard is not only gifted with a sizable spell list, but they could also supplement this list by buying spells whenever they're in town, or stealing the pages out of the defeated enemy's spellbook, or just by having a plethora of other options available for them to acquire knowledge of new spells. Trust me, if you play in a game long enough, you'll probably end up bumping into something that could teach you new spells on accident somewhere along the way. That's not to mention that they get showered in free metamagic feats. And for those new to the hobby, that's just unique ways to make spells behave differently, like being silent or having longer range, just to give a few examples. For sorcerers, however, the name of the game is versatility. Whereas wizards who poorly prepare their spells for the day may find themselves of little value to the team, the sorcerer can confidently rely on being able to use those limited resources that they've equipped with, and having more flexibility than the other magical arcane classes would muster with them. It is very difficult to catch a sorcerer off guard. Though they know fewer spells than a wizard, those that they do know are going to be the ones that they are very comfortable and very prepared to cast when they need to. A key benefit to being a sorcerer over a wizard is that you're not limited to any arcane focus to summon forth your power. You get caught in a situation where your book isn't on your person, or did somebody steal your magic ring, or did your staff fall off the side of the boat, or whatever? That's not a problem for you. Once your rest is complete and your spell slots are restored for the day, the only thing preventing you from casting your spells is their components. If you still want a companion or a magical item, you could still acquire those things pretty easily, while you still maintain all the benefits of your core class. One of the key features to the sorcerer outside of the game mechanics is their particularly high role-playing potential. Now, I don't want to knock on anyone's backstory creating chops, but not all of them, but many can end up falling into classifications of a few choices. Studious old fart? Yeah, that's kind of boring. Gifted, talented prodigy master? Yeah, that's boring. Taught from your parents from a young age? Yeah, I'm sure you were. Oh, what's this? Your bloodline has elemental intermingling, and now you can summon forth the powers of raw flame through your hands? Okay, that's kind of neat. Sorcerers allow, more so perhaps than any other class, to really get creative when making a character. There is, at the time of this recording, it looks like about 51 different bloodlines to choose from just from the core selection, with topics as generic as Draconic and as specific as Scorpion. Not to mention the handful of third-party choices. You might just be able to convince your GM to use one of them. If there's something that you want to do to make your character stand out, Sorcerer might just be the way for you to accomplish it. Now, I don't want to go over each and every one of these, but I do want to call a few out for their particularly high precision customization potential. For example, the arcane and elemental bloodlines will assist you in tapping into your full potential when casting evocation spells that you are particularly well suited to cast. In case you aren't aware what that means, those are the spells that tend to explode or burn or zap or otherwise directly injure your foes. As it turns out, yes, the fire elemental present in your family tree will make your fireballs you're casting today burn better. The abyssal, celestial, and infernal bloodlines let you become full-on aspects of demons, angels, and devils, respectively, more so even though than many clerics can even hope to accomplish in some cases. You'll sprout wings, grow claws, and instantly become the focus of every inquisitor within a 10-mile radius if you fully develop your bloodline powers. The Draconic bloodline is for everyone who's ever sat at the table and jokingly said, "Oh, Dungeons and Dragons, huh? I want to be the dragon." Well, you could do that. There's a bloodline for that. The ghoul and the undead bloodlines are particularly necrotic in their nature for those looking to rob somebody of their time at rest in Phirasma's Boneyard. You'll be a different kind of necromancer as opposed to the team cleric or oracle, but you'll still be able to put the fear of undeath in your foes. Now, this is a cherry-picked list for generic choices, but if you're interested in playing a particular kind of caster, if you're interested in exploring a particular field of magic, if you're interested in expressing a particular kind of being, Take the time to study your options with the Sorcerer Bloodlines. There may just be something here for you. And there's good news, too. In my personal opinion, the most beginner-friendly full caster of the classes in the core rulebook is the Sorcerer. If you're brand spanking new to this hobby, and for some reason you're starting with Pathfinder 1st Edition, which is essentially D&D 3.5, first off, I commend you. Personally speaking, this is the edition of my preference. This is the edition that my friend group keeps on going back to, and I think that's just a testament to how well it's made. Secondly, if you're starting brand new and the only thing that you know about is that you want to be a character who focuses on casting magic, I might just be inclined to recommend Sorcerer for you over Wizard. The limited spell selection will make sure that you focus with laser precision on the magic that you want to be casting. The boons that your bloodline will bring you are going to be how your character stands out as opposed to any other sorcerer in the tavern that night. And depending on the type of magic user that you want to be, there's almost certainly at least a bloodline that could help you accomplish your goals. Now, sorcerers are charisma casters, which to new players means that you're going to want to have at least a couple points in your charisma score at character creation, if at all possible. And for the rest of us, that just means that the freak spellcaster might just have a shot at all those social interactions if the party ends up needing a face. Besides their bloodlines, there isn't too much extra you need to be responsible for knowing. Not that there isn't any more complexity to it than just that, but everything else you'll be responsible for knowing mostly comes to you from your bloodline selection from this point on. You also get SG materials, which allows you to cast a whole bunch of spells without needing to carry around, like, piles of bat droppings and eyes of newt and miniature iron bars or whatever obscure item your spell needs in order for it to be successful. It may be useful to know what kind of magic sorcerers excel at, and with this in mind, I have a brief list. Although this is far from a complete list, to this end I've identified a few archetypes that I feel most builds will fall into. That is either a blaster, a controller, a support, a summoner, or a utility sorcerer. Now, blaster sorcerers are the sorcerers that focus on dealing damage, often with destructive spells. They excel at eliminating enemies or groups of enemies very quickly, and usually without any regard to subtlety. Bloodlines like Elemental or Draconic or Orc make great choices for blaster sorcerers. You take it as a personal offense if you don't get to cast at least one fireball on any given day. Control sorcerers, these are the casters who manipulate the battlefield by hindering opponents, changing terrain, or otherwise impeding enemy movements. Bloodlines such as Fey, Aberrant, or Shadow can be suitable for control-oriented sorcerers. Things like illusionary walls, grease slicks, or sudden pits are your favorite tools. Be advised though, your allies will constantly disregard your tactics and get themselves tangled within your shenanigans. Support casters, these are the characters who enhance their allies' abilities, providing protective spells and offering healing or buffs. You'll fill many gaps that the team's cleric or druid just simply can't accomplish. Celestial, arcane, and imperial bloodlines are very well suited for this role. If you're looking for these bloodlines, you'll usually find a niche or a role that you're interested in satisfying that a cleric or druid could otherwise do, but you'll find a way to do it very, very well. Your party won't know how they succeeded in battle before they had you buffing the team before fights. Summoners are sorcerers that specialize in summoning magical creatures to assist in combat or otherwise provide utility. Summoners are extra cool in that if you study your list of available summons, you'll find that the utilities that a good summon can offer will in some cases provide solutions to problems you otherwise wouldn't have. The Abyssal, Infernal, and Undead bloodlines may align particularly well with this playstyle, as you'll have your fair share of fun and powerful minions to control. You may even get access to enhanced summoning selections, which allows for a truly unique experience. After you summon your big scary monster, you'll buff it up and make it an even bigger, scarier monster. If you're doing it right, playing a summoner sorcerer should feel just a little bit like playing a game of Magic the Gathering. Much like the support above, a summoner sorcerer can excel particularly well when focusing on a specific skill set. Just make sure you can appropriately contain whatever it is you end up calling out of the void. And finally, but very far from the last possible archetype, is the utility sorcerer. These sorcerers focus on utility spells, such as divination or teleportation or crafting spells. The Arcane, Destined, and Time bloodlines are really good choices for utility-focused sorcerers. If you want to focus on crafting magical items, this is going to be the archetype for you. These characters will typically become best friends with either the tank or the DPS of the group, and similar to a Vivi/Steiner relationship, your powers combined lead to truly spectacular moments. Besides discussing their gameplay merit, there's also the unspoken bonus with sorcerers, in that they usually end up having the coolest-looking miniatures. Players like myself who enjoy printing or otherwise obtaining fantasy tabletop miniatures will be pleased to hear that oftentimes the sorcerers are going to be the ones who are most expressively posed. Their action shots will typically show off some element of a bloodline, which makes them stand out from all the other miniatures on the table. The super cool ones with the Sub-Zero ice all over their gear and weapons probably is not going to make sense for the fighter of the group, but the party's Frost Sorcerer, they're going to be all over that. Those super cool heroes from your other tabletop games might just live to see another day, if your character has the right bloodline. Now, for most, the many options available at character creation might be enough to inspire a new creation. For me, I had an idea of what a caster was capable of from watching my teammates in fights, and when it came to cycle characters for the first time, I knew I wanted to give it a try. It didn't take too long seeing other casters in action at my first gaming table before I knew I wanted to try my hand at casting spells. We didn't have a tiefling available to us at the time, so I essentially made one via bloodlines. I had the mental image of a combat caster rolling around with the party, and the abyssal bloodline was able to help me in accomplishing those goals. When it came to fights, I wanted to run in and focus on a priority target with close combat attacks and spells, and claws that came with bloodline allowed me to do this with a very thematic twist. Out of fights, my knowledge in the planes and my ability to both diplomatize and intimidate meant that some encounters could be ended before they even began when the circumstances were right. Bonuses that I received from my bloodline made sure that I excelled in those moments. I found great success for my first caster before he eventually got his butt kicked in an ambush, and that's when I learned the important lesson to all my combat casters out there, which is to spend the time buffing before exceptionally well-armored foes charge into a fight. Listeners who want to do a similar build might be delighted to hear I recreated this character for Wrath of the Righteous to great effect. The formula is a simple one, but it sure is effective. Vraskin, one of the initial characters from Clinton's Core Classics, had a similar build, though he very early on sets the goal of becoming a dragon instead of a demon. You'll just have to tune in to see if he accomplishes this goal or not. And Aristotle, in the later seasons, he manages to accomplish damage that I've never, to this day, seen another class beat. Sorcerer is a phenomenal class that offers options for players looking to excel at just about any particular magical task. And that's about all I have to say about sorcerers. I've talked about their history a bit, I've talked about what their general deal is, I've talked about their roles in the party, and for some of the variants you encounter in your travels. I compared them to the default alternative, I've expressed why you may want to choose one over the other. I gave some specific examples to inspire potential players, I gave a personal story to connect with the audience. I think I'm going to call that a wrap on Intro to Sorcerers. The only other thing that I have on my notes here that I didn't find a way to shoehorn in is the major difference between sorcerers and wizards, which is that wizards have to sit down and prepare their spells. The benefit of sorcerers, you don't have that list that you need to pre-plan, but the trade-off is you get less slots. And yeah, that's it. That's really all there is to know about sorcerers as opposed to wizards or any other casters. They're unique, and the ways that they're unique make them exceptional. With that, we have just one last bit of business to attend to, it looks like. I earlier picked up this D20 and left it to the side here. Now we need to see what next topic is. Now I've been given a long list of items here. Let's see what we roll. That is a natural 20. Which means that the next show, we will be discussing our favorite characters. So until then, I've been your host, Connor, the Cyberpunk Monk Besh. This has been D20 Dudes, where we let the dice determine what we talk about, or whatever the tagline to the show actually is. Don't forget to check out Clinton's Core Classics, a Rise of the Rune Lords First Edition Actual Play podcast. If you're listening to this, you're probably the exact right audience for this product. It's all wrapped up now, so you could listen to every episode for free. If you'd rather hear my Cyberpunk Intrigue podcast about fantasy heists and plots, please check out Bug City Blues, a Shadowrun 6th World Edition actual play podcast. I work really hard on it, and I'm positive you'll love it. Also, check out Reading Entertainment podcast if you like either the sound of my voice and or tech and video game news. I guess I'm on Twitter, Cyberpunk Monk, don't forget the underscore, at Clinton's Core and at Bug City Blues too. Don't go on social media. After you're done not going on social media, go to facebook.com/d20dudes, go to twitter.com/d20dudes, go to discord.gg/foxtrot3deltaCapitalMikeZetaYankee5, and patreon.com/d20dudes. Tune in next week, where I'm probably not going to be hosting. Goodbye!